If you're one of those Facebook people, then I've already put a précis of this morning's message on the church Facebook page. So you might already know what I'm going to say. If you're not a Facebook person, why not? It's a great tool for keeping in touch. It has its bad side and its good side. If you are a Facebook person and you haven't liked the church Facebook page, why on earth not? Because you can get news about what's happening in the church and be encouraged, hopefully, as well as we share stories on there. When I was planning this message for this morning, the title that I started off with was Resurrection Reasons. Things that are, or things that we do, that are a result of the resurrection. Or the resurrection is the reason why we do them. But I decided to change the title because it sounds a bit too much like I was going to speak about reasons to believe in the resurrection. Now that we've done before. Sometime last year, we spent a while in our big questions series, particularly thinking about why it's very reasonable to believe that Jesus rose from the dead, the historical evidence that there is that points in that direction. We have to admit there isn't proof, but there again, when you're dealing with history, there isn't proof of anything in the same way as if you can do a repeated experiment in the here and now. But there is actually good historical evidence towards the resurrection, and it's difficult to explain what the first Christians did if there wasn't a resurrection, a real resurrection. If anyone wants to ask more about that, then I'm happy to chat about that at any time. But that's not the reasons that I'm going to talk about this morning. And so that's why I changed the title to Because of the Resurrection. Because of the Resurrection. Okay, so it's not alliterative. It doesn't roll off the tongue quite so well as Resurrection Reasons. But Because of the Resurrection. Our starting point then is that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again. A real body. He ate, he spoke, he touched, he was touched. But also Jesus had a transformed body. And so sometimes he appeared unexpectedly to the disciples. And of course he ascended to heaven in that transformed body as well. On Friday morning we had a special activity time for children, the Good Friday special, using lots of crafts to tell the Easter story. One of them was sponge painting, and I think the idea of the sponge painting was at the Garden of Gethsemane, so there were some flower sponges and tree sponges and things. The basket that the sponges were in had a very seasonal title to it. It said Christmas sponges. But actually, that's a good, useful reminder. Because without Christmas, we would not have Easter. Jesus had to come and be born as a baby first. The Son of God had to come down from heaven and become a human being and live a life before he could die. So Christmas is a necessary preliminary to Easter. Of course, in the secular world, they seem to do much better at celebrating Christmas than Easter, although I guess revenues from Easter eggs must be quite a big thing for supermarkets as well. So without Christmas, you can't have Easter. But there again, if it wasn't for Easter, what on earth would be the point in celebrating Christmas? He wouldn't be the saviour being born, would he? If there wasn't for Easter afterwards. Without Easter, Christmas is not worth celebrating. Easter itself is a double celebration. And of course, there are lots of different stories as part of the overall Easter story as well. On the cross, as Jesus died, some of his final words were, "It is finished. It is finished." But the story of Easter isn't finished when he says that on the cross. Without Good Friday, You can't have a resurrection day afterwards. But without the resurrection, the story is not complete. Which leads us to our first because. I read in Paul's letter to the church in Rome, through the Spirit of holiness, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of the resurrection, we can have a certainty about who Jesus is. Jesus' work and his words are authenticated by the resurrection. His person as the Son of God, born as a human being, is authenticated by the resurrection. In church this year, our Sunday morning series has been in the Gospel of John, and we've mentioned from time to time the seven signs that John writes about in his Gospel. For John, he calls them signs, whereas often they're called miracles, and in the other Gospels, usually the writers might call them miracles rather than signs. John says there are more than just these seven, but there's not enough space to write everything that Jesus did and said. He chooses seven signs, seven miracles, to point to who Jesus is. That's what signs are for, isn't it? To point to places, to point to things. But the biggest sign is not one of those seven, but it's the resurrection itself that comes at the end. The resurrection authenticates Jesus. He really is who he said he was. The resurrection authenticates the gospel message, the good news that Jesus came to bring. And that's what Paul spoke about at the end of that passage in Romans that I read. Because of his certainty about Jesus Christ and Jesus' resurrection, that's why he's so eager, so keen to take the gospel to Rome. And he says in verse 15, I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. This gospel message is authenticated by Jesus' resurrection. And this message is that getting right with God is about believing in him, believing in Jesus, that Jesus who he said he was. Jesus died on the cross for all the wrong things that we've ever done. That's the gospel that's being authenticated by the resurrection. Not a gospel that if you try hard enough, God might let you into heaven, or go to church every Sunday and get enough passcodes to get to heaven. But a good news message of trust in Jesus Christ, because he paid the full price upon the cross for anything and everything you've ever done. Let me ask you this morning. Have you trusted in this gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ? It's not about believing that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. It's about believing that Jesus is my Saviour. Have you trusted in him as your Saviour? Not just in a general, vague sense, but a personal faith in Jesus Christ. The Easter stories are the climax of Jesus' work. His purpose was in his death on the cross, his death for us so that we can be forgiven. The first because of the resurrection, there's a certainty about who Jesus is and what he came to do, an authenticated person or an authenticated message. The second because is hope. Because of the resurrection, we have hope. And here we turn just briefly to one of the Apostle Peter's letters. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I wonder whether anyone saw the documentary this week about climate change. I think it was David Attenborough, wasn't it? I didn't see it, but I've seen people comment on it on Facebook, and I've seen, or heard rather, on Radio 5. They were discussing it the morning afterwards as well. It seems to me that David Attenborough is a man who doesn't have any hope for the future. At least his hope is only in the natural world, in what can be seen and touched, the physical world. His hope for his life, his hope for his children's life, his hope for his grandchildren's lives is based around this planet only. Therefore, quite rightly, he's worried about climate change, because if that's the only basis of your hope, then you would be worried. But if we trust in Christ, we have a living hope, a hope of eternal life, a hope of resurrection, a hope of new perfected bodies, a hope of a new heavens and a new earth. So we don't need to go around as people who have no hope in this world, because Christ, through his resurrection, brings us hope. Hope for now and hope forever. By the way, I don't believe that our future hope and our hope that God is going to one day renew the heavens and the earth, that doesn't give us a license to treat the earth badly. In the first book in the Bible, God calls us to be stewards of his creation, to look after his creation. So we're not let off the hook in environmental concern, but we're not doing it as people with no hope, because we have a hope in our Lord God. And whether the Lord will come back before it gets too bad, before we've degraded the earth too much, or whether he'll give strength to us through that degradation, I don't know, but the promise is that one day when Jesus returns, God will bring things to a climax and he will restore and renew. And that's true for our bodies as well. As we get older, we get more and more aches and pains, and some of our bodies don't work as well as they used to. But the promise is for heaven, renewed, recreated bodies. Once heard it said that it would be like you were at your prime. Is how you'll be for eternity, fit and healthy and strong, no more illnesses, pains, and so forth. The hope that the resurrection brings, hope that there's an eternity and that God is in control of that eternity. In another letter, Paul spends a whole chapter, as he writes to the Corinthians, talking about the resurrection. And he talks quite a bit there about the glorified bodies that we'll have. And that because Jesus rose from the dead, we can be certain that there's a resurrection for us who trust in Jesus also. In a sense, we already belong to heaven. It says in the Bible that we're like citizens of heaven, even while we're living on earth. That's why at the funeral on Tuesday, we can sing a hymn, "Going Home, Going Home, I'm Going Home." Because if we're citizens for heaven already, and when we pass away from this life, we're just going to what's already our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. For those who trust in Jesus, there is no fear in death. It's going home to be with Father God, to be with Brother Jesus, to be with the rest of the family that have gone before us. Because of the resurrection, we have a new and living hope. And then thirdly and finally, because of the resurrection, we should persevere. Because of the resurrection, perseverance. That great chapter about resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, concludes with these words. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Therefore, because of the resurrection, he's just been writing about the resurrection for the previous 57 verses of the chapter, although he didn't write the verse numbers in himself, they were added later on in history. But it's quite a long chapter, and he's been writing about the resurrection, and then he says, therefore stand firm. He doesn't say stand still, he says stand firm because of the resurrection. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Don't be half-hearted about serving God. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. And that, what we know, is just what the apostles did, the first Christians. They devoted themselves to preaching the gospel. They didn't give up when things got difficult. And most of Jesus' original 12 disciples, most of them were put to death for preaching the resurrection. But they didn't give up. Therefore, stand firm, work for the Lord. And so the whole of Easter should spur us into action for God. It's a demonstration of God's love. And Paul writes, for Christ's love compels us, because I'm convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Christ's love compels us. When we appreciate his love shown through the cross and the victory of the resurrection. I wonder sometimes whether we need a refresher course on God's love, so that it spurs us into action again, so that we stand firm, so that we labour for the Lord. So because of the resurrection, certainty, hope, and perseverance. Certainty that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and that the gospel is true. Certainty about how to get right with God through Jesus. Hope. Hope for every day. A living hope. And perseverance. Serving the Lord, because labour for him is not in vain. Amen.